Good enough, good enough. All right. I don't know if I don't think I've made a recording lately about things that happen. Things kinda happen fast and interesting in my world. Let me try to see, talk about what's happening and my feelings about it, I guess, for lack of a better way to look at it. Let's pray the car continues to function well. We get through this interesting period. Anyway, over the last couple of weeks, he's going to go the other way, but I think he's interested in nailing me, the local police officer. Let me see if I can get the heck out of his way. Get out of his town as fast as I can. I don't like tangling with local authorities particularly. All right. Well, anyway, I got told a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little bit more, that the job I have at Pantex, they don't have the money to keep that going past the new fiscal year, which ends in September, the federal fiscal year. And I am, and there was profuse apologies from the people that really were instrumental in my hiring to say that this was going to be it. The interesting thing is that a couple of days later, I was told that that jobs would be coming up for Linux system admins. And I was like, oh, okay, great, you know. And that they would kind of give me the high sign when it was time to apply for them. So it's like, great, thank you. This is so wonderful. And so interesting things going on there. But at the first sign of this thing's going to fall apart here in a matter of months, I went ahead and started kind of putting my feelers out for other opportunities. I'm going to eat too. Put the cruise control on. Looks good. Okay. I'm off a little early, which is good. That means I don't have to worry about if something strange happens. I'll be to work on time. So I just put out the normal things, opened up my profiles to be seen, recruiters and jobs open. Although I can't say that I've had a lot of activity that way yet. Anyway. But, you know, I just did this a couple of weeks ago, so can't expect a ton. Regardless. So I get these strange texts. First, I wasn't sure who they were. They seemed to come from the gosh golly. I'm not very happy about being a part of a homeowners association, HOA. I don't know if it was necessary, but I got a cheap place to park the boat, which I sleep in, or did sleep in, and that's the big thing is I did. I'm not sleeping in it anymore, at least for the moment. I was getting these strange emails, texts. And they seem like third-person ones. I found out it was from Ian, which is the fellow that I bought my lot outside of Fritsch from. And that's only about a half an hour from work, so it was a good thing. And the price was quite low comparatively to my other options. And it was that they wanted mowing done. Now, it said specifically in the contract that this kind of stuff was only necessary if I developed the place, and I didn't. I had no intention of developing the place. So I felt like those demands didn't apply to me. Anyway, so then I come to find out, okay, so I found out that it was Ian, who was the old owner of the place, gave me the information for an HOA person, talked to them, they said I'm the wrong person, so they put me in touch with the right person. The right person was, you're the guy with the boat. It's like, oh, and she said, that's out of compliance. And I was like, I don't remember reading anything about boats. You guys were worried about abandoned vehicles. I said, this is my RV. This is a lot that said that it was appropriate for an RV. And she said, well, I'm going to have to check with people in charge. And it's like, oh, great. So anyway, I got a call back later on that evening. I was already in bed, and I got a call, and they said, yeah, you're going to have to get a, you know, you didn't read that stuff very well. It's like, I think I did. I didn't go over with a dang lawyer. Well, I don't think a lawyer can. Anyway, they were making new demands. The boat had to go. I needed to put in a septic system, and to go, a septic system for what? So, you know, the boat was self-contained. So you take it off to empty it out, and it's like, and I said, yeah, it didn't matter. I never fill it, but that's none of their business. So then she was saying that I got tricked by Ian, the guy that sold it to me. And I was like, I don't feel like he tricked me at all. I needed this. I wasn't concerned with the price, which she thought was exorbitant. It's like, you know, what difference does it make to you? I don't get this attitude I was getting. But I took advantage of it. You know, this is, you don't just sit there and not take advantage of things. So Ian started getting really apologetic about the whole situation. And I said, well, I said, to be honest, I just feel like I want to get out of this. I don't want to be involved in this situation anymore. He says, I want to sell back the lot to you. And I'll make it worth your while. I paid, I'm not going to say how much I paid, but, you know, I was going to get him back to him for just kind of a pittance. He could pay it back to me to say that he had bought it from me, back from me. Which I was fine with, you know, always been fine with. I think he's a little nervous all around that he's still going to get accused of taking advantage of people. I don't know if I can help. Anyway, so I've taken the boat off of there, brought it back to the house, my house, Tuesday, and we're probably going to close out me selling that lot back to Ian here. Probably tonight it'll be done, which is good. You know, I just really want to get it off of my plate. hanging on to it's just not interesting to me at all. So, well, there's that. Interesting timing all around. Also, it coincided with Matt's eye infection, and Matt and Lisa kind of having a bit of tussles about this stuff. Not that it was anything major, but it certainly gave me something to say when people say, "So what are you doing? What do we need to do to make this work?" And it's like, I need to be home more. So having a place near my work there in Amarillo isn't really gonna help things much. Anyway, so that's going to get taken care of. So I'm not going to be having a place to stay in Amarillo. I'm just staying in Tucumcari. And today I'm driving from Tucumcari to my work at Pantex. I'm going to do the work at Pantex. And when I get done, I had put together that I was going to go ahead someday this week. And I said, you know, today would be a great day. We would make the exchange. You know, we go ahead and sign the new deed back to him, and he would give me a little bit of money to make it look right. Mostly to make it look right. You know, the money's already gone for me, so I don't really care one way or the other. So that's where we stand now with that part of it. So things are starting to kind of get interesting over at the current job. Okay. Breakfast is done. I need a drink, though. Don't worry, it's water. So I've been putting out these feelers for jobs, throwing applications here and there. Not really concerned about the money particularly. There's some kind of vehicle over here. It could be the police. This kind of seems off on his own. No, it is the police. Okay. New Mexico. Which is fine. I'm going under 75 on an interstate for 75, so I'm not in any kind of trouble at all. Unless I got a burned out taillight or something. Could happen. Anyway. So I've been putting in applications, even to the point to where I got it kind of set up on my phone. I've got the phone app versions of things, which I rarely do because I'm not really a phone person, you know. But anyway, I've been applying for jobs. There's for a variety of jobs, both less paying than the job I have now, and higher than the pay I make now. Both of them are out there. The ones that are lower paying, it's part-time. You know, I'm thinking about just saying, you know what, maybe I need to slide into retirement. Although I'm not hitched up to any particular wagon. I can go either way. As I've been looking at my tendencies, And it's interesting that Lisa has kind of gotten into it. She's confirmed that I'm a Sigma male, which is a tricky customer that makes everybody a little a little off-putting. Alphas don't like him because they feel kind of threatening. Once you figure out they're sigmas, you shouldn't be threatened. Don't care about what alphas care about. But anyway, yeah, so there's all that. You know, I've always known for years I've been an INFP, which is kind of an interesting thing, healer. But then somebody's come up with this thing called being a maverick. And I find it interesting. Everybody always relates it to the Tom Cruise character in Top Gun for just being the guy that does, I don't know if they're impossible things, but things that no sane person would do. Anyway, so apparently I've got a lot of those attributes too. But it's not like, am I a thrill seeker? No. Well, not particularly. I'm not the guy that goes, ooh, look at that roller coaster, let's go, I want to throw up. And you go, no, I'm not interested in throwing up particularly. But apparently I am willing to sink a lot of I don't know if it's really pain, something. There's something about me that I've always tended to do strange, kind of off-the-wall things that people don't, that most people shy away from and say, I don't want anything to do with that. And it's like, you know, I don't care myself. I get up in the morning. I start doing things. If something comes up that needs doing, you get to it. You just don't know what the day is really going to present. So you just kind of take almost everything one day, one minute at a time to say, this is how we're going to handle this. And let me think about this for a minute. Reasonably fast on my feet, I think. You know, I always fancied myself something of a writer. And I don't think I'm bad at it at all. But yeah, lately I've been reading about things of saying, you know, all the things they ever said about the kind of the glamorous life of writers, you know, especially ones that get popular and all. And over time, I've kept running up against the fact that people who have been somewhat successful in writing, and they go, it's not what I thought it was going to be. And it really doesn't make really all that much money. And it's, you know, it's okay, but you're not living the jet setting life that you wanted. And I was always, I don't know if the jet setting life appealed to me particularly. I don't know. I don't know if it's lost its luster, if it ever had any with me particularly. I just wanted to do okay. I just wanted not to worry. And to be honest, I haven't really been worrying when it comes to money. Lisa and I have been making purchases lately that are planned to extend the life of things, you know, because I was saying, you know, I might not take a higher paying job this time. I may take one that's part time. Although it's like, what'll I do with my other time? Honestly, I really don't. You know, I know some things about myself, but then at the end of the day, I'm not really sure I know much about myself at all. Which is a good thing that I put myself into the Lord's hands so much. I don't know if it's a guiding my feet particularly. It might be. I'm not against that. I'm not a limp rag to be animated by God. It's kind of, I don't think it's a partnership. He's definitely in charge. And I put it myself in his service. To to accomplish whatever he's trying to accomplish. And that might be service to other people. I don't know. I do serve people in a way. I'm not going to sit here and rate it. I have no idea. Sometimes I feel like I don't serve enough. Of course, I think everybody feels that way. I'm generous with the money I have. And I think to a large degree, that's what keeps me in good stead with the Lord, which is what I want more than anything else, is to look good in His eyes so that Heavenly Father, I have decided, and it's interesting from the standpoint of, so you're really a grasping alpha after all, Nimro, because you want to be like God. You go, no, I don't want to get shoehorned into a role that I'm stuck in. I see most rewards as kind of getting stuck. So do I want to be like Heavenly Father? Yes. Do I want exaltation? Yes. Now, why do I want it? Is it because I want to lord over people? And you go, I have no interest in lording over people. You know, I told people that I'm kind of a laissez-faire parent. You know, I'm actually quite happy with what my children are doing. I wish some of them would embrace the gospel more than they do, you know, but for circumstances and for the kind of people that my children are, I am not disappointed. I'm not disappointed. And they're doing some kind of off the wall things, some of them are. And that doesn't bother me at all. The future on this earth coming into the millennium, for all of the issues that I had initially with social justice warriors, I don't think their vision is particularly bad. I think what they do and how they do it is atrocious. And I think that it's going to get them into a lot of trouble if they don't calm down and be far more thoughtful about how they are trying to get to. It really is kind of a utopia. And, before I get into that, I just put in for a job that sounds like they wrote it for me. The first thing it said on it, you are working technology all the time during your off hours, during all that stuff. And you go, I do that at the job I have now. I haven't really gotten to the actual mechanics of what my job was supposed to be. Whatever it's supposed to be, but I haven't gotten down to actually doing the work for which I was hired. I've been doing a lot of the prelim work, basically describing an HPC cluster to people who really don't know, because this is a little bit out of the experience of these people. Wonderful folks. And I understand when they come to me and they go, well, this does, I don't like this. I think it should go like this. You go, no, it's okay. It says, we know how this is to be done. My job right now is to make sure that cybersecurity, for instance, feels like their needs are being met. That's important. And to let them know that I know that it's important. I'm not trying to get around you. I'm not trying to ignore you at all. I want your needs to be taken care of so that we can proceed with this and we can get this piece of equipment. You know, an HPC cluster is a really big thing. And, you know, you have to be somewhat, you have to know what you're doing, I suppose. And you go, well, do you know what you're doing? And you go, yes, in this case, I do. You know, they go, well, you've never done HPC before. And you go, well, I'm doing it now. And I know how it works, and I know what you don't need to be worried about. And I'm trying to make sure that you're steered in the right direction so that you don't freak out because you don't need to. Anyway, so I don't know how I went down that road. Oh, I applied for a job today. It looked perfect, and I'll just say it's quite a bit more money than I make right now. Stunningly so for me. And I think back to my patriarchal blessing that says I will have needs. And I don't feel bad about the money I make now, but I've never felt it met that criteria for me having the means to participate in the Lord's work. But this job would allow that. I would be able to put aside, a lot of money on a regular basis. Very, you know, just boom, 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 put it aside, put it aside, put it aside. I live a very modest life so that when I make really good money, it can be put into investments. I guess I've been looking at those real estate investments, those REITs. I guess I call them REITs. I'm a little concerned because it really is. Once it's kind of publicly known that these things are rather good investments, they start kind of getting to be bad investments, you know, because everybody gets into them and whatever good thing it was starts getting less. And I need to calm down about that because that's not exactly true. And, you really need quite a bit of money to get started in them, especially if you're going to do them right. You can do them kind of cheap, and that's not a bad thing. But at some point, you really want to just do it on a larger scale, you know. And it mostly has to do with buying up properties, then renting them out, and you being the backer of the renting out. And they pay, and you get. It's really a dividend generator. So you almost immediately start seeing returns on it, where most people say, oh, you put it in, you let it sit for years and years and years, and then you get a little bit of money back from it, and that constitutes an investment. Barely better than just sticking it in a savings account back in the old days. You know, might keep up with inflation costs, might not. These REITs do a better job, and they start paying dividends almost immediately. they do immediately. And you decide where those dividends go. If you continue plowing them back into more and larger real estate investment, I'm a little skittish about real estate, except for the fact that they're not making more land. All this money is going to disappear when the demand for property dries up. But I think that's only going to happen when evil is taken off the earth. And at that point, I don't really know if money is really all that going to be that big of a consideration. It's going to be that big of a deal. We're still going to need to be able to, you know, plant gardens, be able to raise food, because a lot of the economics that we've been depending on are likely going to turn upside down. And everybody who's enjoyed richness because they could have more. And everything was always kind of done in that fashion. Anyway, so I, most important thing is to pay your tithing. Make sure you always pay your tithing. Give a generous fast offering. Lisa and I have been giving, I don't know how generous it is, to humanitarian aid, because that's important. If things get better, I think that's something that we'll probably do some more of, is we'll go ahead and boost up our contributions to fast offerings and to humanitarian aid. These are both things that I feel good, very strongly about. What else? Anyway, so, but that all kind of depends. If I get the really high paying jobs, I need to get over, because it's the perfect time when somebody wants to pass me. Good. Oh, we made it. All right. So we're from Florida. It's amazing the cars you see on this road. Anyway, so all this stuff is happening in a really strange thing. It seems like the Pantex situation is starting to close out. And even though that there may be jobs I can apply for at Pantex, you know, I'm not going to say I'm not going to apply for them. It depends on timing, you know, but there's other things coming up that might supersede that. And I do really want to work from home, be closer to Lisa. Although, I was talking to my dad, and he said, you know, she's going to have you go and work across the street at the other house, our squatter house. And I said, well, that was one of the justifications for having done it at the time, was that I would actually have my office there. And the kind of office space that's in our house, Lisa could expand into that and do her art studio there. So I guess that's kind of what we're looking at. I'm not really interested in that property across the street, you know, for actually acquiring it. You know, most people squat, then after in New Mexico 10 years, you can file for a title to it. Because you've been sitting on it, you can just have it. I'm not really terribly interested in that. Because once I'm done with it and I don't need it anymore, I would just as soon it disappear. And the easiest way to make it disappear is just to, you know, stop paying the property taxes on it. That will trigger a tax sale at some point. You know, it could be years away, could be months away, who knows? Anyway, and then somebody else acquires it somehow. Or not. They don't have to acquire it. And, you know, it becomes what it is. And then I don't manage it anymore. It's not my problem. I'm mowing its lawn. I'm using the back of it for a garden because I really don't have much garden space in a way that my wife is okay with. On our property, I think she would be okay if I put raised beds in the front as long as they looked good. And I wouldn't mind doing it. She doesn't like the neighbor dogs. But you have to understand, we are living in a circumstance. I don't know if it's a telestial thing. I don't know. But everybody keeps dogs. and not particularly happy dogs, you know. Dogs that feel threatened all the time for some reason. I don't really get it, but that's what they do. Am I in Texas yet? I don't know if I'm in Texas yet. Anyway, so things are moving, which is always interesting for me. And the time scale seems to be consistent with the time scale for how things are kind of moving on the planet right now. Schizophrenic sort of franticness, almost. Oh, yes, I'm in Texas because there's a picnic area. We don't have picnic areas in New Mexico. We just don't. I don't know why. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Might be useful for tax reasons to get a domicile outside of New Mexico. A lot of people buy up those vacant chunks of land in West Texas for next to nothing and then say that that's their domicile so that they can be a part of the tax regimen in Texas. Doesn't have an income tax. And I'm getting to the point where I might have to look at those kinds of things if I start making that much money. And it was funny. This job that just looks like they wanted exactly me and the things that I have in my resume that make them look good, make me look good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Starting to kind of go over in my mind what I would need to do. Because these people, if they're going to be paying me this much money, they're going to want to be doing some actual checks of what I do so that I don't look like a freaking. So I'm just making stuff up. So, a lot of times when you're going and looking for work, it gets really interesting because you actually see that everything you've done in the past is kind of drawing you toward some point. And it usually doesn't end up being a point. It ends up being just a continuing road. And that's really what I looked at the description of this job. It really had to do with, it's like everything that you've done was building up towards something like this. And the funny thing is, each step of the way as you go along, that keeps happening. It brings to mind that a statement made in Joe versus the Volcano, the movie. I forget who says it. What's her name? It's not Patricia. Patricia's the Flibberty Gibbet. The one after that. I forget her name. Oh my gosh. The Graynamore girl that Joe ultimately is with. And she really reminds me of Lisa. She's kind of that Lisa person, although she's not a sailor at all. Lisa's not a sailor. Anyway. She insists that she's the bird and I'm the fish and we live together. I think Lisa needs to always have reinforced to her that she kind of has the upper hand on. And I have no problem with that perception that everybody has. You know, even whether it's true or not, it probably is true. I think she is much more typical, normal than I am, which is good. She has the sensibilities and the needs of a normal person, where I'm very much, oh my God. Oh, I'm looking at other things. There we go. Where I'm just this other, you know, I'm just this alien fella, you know? So it's really interesting to watch. Oh, the actual quote was, it was about her father, who was this rich guy, and he was the guy that set up the whole thing for Joe to go get Boobaroo, superconductor. That's what he's into. He doesn't understand it, but there's a lot of money to it, so he's doing trade. And Joe is supposed to jump into a volcano to get mineral rights. Anyway, he goes, he looks at the world, and he is in just a state of unending amazement. And that's how I'm getting myself. The Lord is so wonderful to me and blesses my life. And apparently he's not done yet. I stand in utter amazement at how things are going. I don't feel like I deserve it. I don't know how to explain. When I come into a situation, sometimes I feel a little intimidated. Other people around me and how they are, it's like I just don't, I don't know if I fit in here. You know, you guys seem so. And I guess it's just from years and years and years of understanding how a system works. And that's what they're invested in, is the way their system works. Right now, where I work now is really in kind of a state of flux because they're changing systems and all kinds of things. Different, bigger people are making different decisions, putting things together, taking them apart, changing up processes for who knows what reason these days. It all seems just a Byzantine conglomeration of things. And unlike these other people who spend a lot of their time trying to figure out how to make the system work for them, not really getting around to documenting it so other people, when they come in, can actually use the system. It's, oh, I've just been doing other things to stay busy while all the processes grind. And it looks like I'm never going to get around to actually doing what I was hired to do, because they should have had all this process stuff somewhat worked out so that the person that they hired to do what I was supposed to be doing could actually do it. But to be honest, there is really not a purposeful, but not purposeful. There isn't really a good way to get that done with the kind of flux these people are in. And the fact that this thing actually is kind of a one-off thing. They're not going to be having a lot of these. They're going to build these HPC clusters, and then that's it. There's no need to have an HPC cluster process, because they're not going to be bringing in a string of HPC clusters in this situation. I think it's kind of funny they actually have this stuff here. You know, it's interesting. The fact that I got included with it is kind of stunning to me. Like I said, total state of amazement. So anyway, we'll see what happens with jobs, circumstances, things like that. Okay, so things are stirring. And you start getting the feeling, like you do on a regular basis, that you're seeing the Lord's finger stirring things. And I'm at an interesting reading in the Book of Mormon. I'm at Ether, Ether chapter 3, where the brother of Jared, who apparently is quite an amazing man, probably more amazing than most people realize. The descendants of his people are nothing. They almost immediately start falling into trouble, the Jaredites. But the brother of Jared is kind of this outlier. He's almost kind of the group's mystic, their holy man. And I won't say that I haven't felt like I was somewhat of a mystic as well. If I am able to see around corners, it's because the Lord puts forth quite a lot of effort to help me see around corners. And I acknowledge it, and I'm grateful for it. Oh my gosh. And it's not because it's making me a lot of money. It just, I don't know. Maybe it's just the constant state of amazement that keeps me engaged in it. I really don't know what, I don't really know what the actual appeal is. I can't explain it to myself. I am what I am. I am a curious instrument. That's why my blog has been called A Curious Instrument for years. I don't know if I ever called it anything else. I started doing it in what, 2011? And it was just me saying, yep, this is what I seem to be. And it's only proven more true over time that I'm this curious instrument, but I make sure that I'm in the hands of the Lord to do with me what he wishes. I am a curious instrument. I don't immediately seem like I am this amazing person. Like I said, I'm not an alpha. And that's what people normally see. We should put him in charge. And you go, I don't know. I don't know if you want Nemro in charge. Not that he would probably be able to do something, but he would do something really interesting and bizarre with it. You go, that's true. That's true. I am a strange pick for management on a certain level. I'm more of that person that you go, no, he's a leader. He steers the direction of the company, and everybody else are just salespeople of the, you know, it could be like that. Anyway, and I don't know if it's going to get any more clear, because I don't know how clear I can be for anybody. When I was young, I was playing out, I told Lisa this story, I was playing out in the old milk barn on the family ranch. It had not been used as a milking barn for ages. You know, that was back when everybody did, every farm was quite self-contained. You had a few milk cows, you had some goats, you had a little bit of everything. You had a big garden, and you did all the things that needed doing. You took care of the animals. You took care of the garden. It became a cattle operation, but that was how you made money. That was kept separate from other things. You know, I don't know if it was a cow-calf operation. Doesn't matter. Anyway, so I was a little kid, and I was fooling around in the milking barn, the old milking barn. It's falling apart, but it was still there. This was back in the 70s, the late 70s. And I don't know what came to mind. I guess is in the situation I was in a milking thing. We actually used that place to slaughter chickens away from the other chickens. I don't know why we thought that was important. I don't think it really was that big of a deal, but that's what we did. Anyway, and, I made the Vega. Is this Vega? Okay. This morning's going a little slower than normal. Usually I'll be talking and going along, and the time passes really fast, and all of a sudden, I'm in Amarillo, and it's just stunning. Right now, it's going a little slower, and I find that interesting, too. The dynamics of our perception of time is just, wow, how come sometimes things go so fast, and other times things go so slowly? It stuns me. Anyway, so I was in that milking barn, and the thing came to mind that cream always rises to the top. I always used to look through old catalogs, and the older catalogs always had a lot of equipment for, you know, all the activities that farms used to do. And one of them was a creamer. Of course, I read Mother Earth News and stuff like that, which was kind of the Bible of the back to the land movement of the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. And it was already kind of old. I'm always kind of late, Johnny come lately, to whatever scene I get interested in. Anyway, and I guess I had seen some creamers, and I had read some articles about how cream works. Of course, it was in the popular literature, too. I remember a book series I liked as a kid. It was Mrs. Pigglewiggle. She was the wife of a pirate. But this person that kind of got pressed into service as a developer of children. It almost became my early child development manual. And I liked it. And I don't know which kid it was. There was always these atrocious children with bad habits. She took it upon herself, or was begged by their parents to do something about these kids' bad habits, like not washing behind their ears, so they would start growing potatoes behind their ears. And what was another situation? Guy, I forget. There was, each book had at least four or five children with different problems, and kind of the almost kind of half magical but really deeply creative ways of getting that kid to stop doing it. And one of the kids, they would go through their breakfast routine. I don't know if it's because they had a problem with washing their hands before they would come to the table. I forget. But it was always talk about having cereal in the morning. And it was traditional, I guess, or it brought up in the book that you would use the cream off the top of your milk. They didn't have homogenized milk back then. So the cream came to the top, and you would use the cream for various things. And one of the things the kid used the cream for was their cereal. And until it ran out, then you just have to use, I forget what they call it, the strippings, the uncreamed stuff. So it would probably be akin to low fat milk or skim milk was, and that's what skim means. It's milk that's had the cream skimmed off the top. But I got that whole concept of the cream always rises. You can't stop cream from rising to the top. And I don't want to sound cocky because it's not me doing it. It's really hard to be cocky about something for which I'm certainly involved. I'm actually doing the things that need to get done, but with the constant help of heaven. Isn't that amazing? And I try to explain it to people. They just give me this blank stare when I go, you know, I'm just this guy. And what I need to just do is stop explaining it to people. It's not interesting. It doesn't help them at all. it just makes them feel weird because it's like, my life doesn't work like that. I pride myself on the skill set that I bring to a situation. I'm like, I kind of figure things out as I go along. And I don't know if I really have, you know, I don't know if you can take whatever method I come up with to do something and apply it to anything else. It isn't like you should read my autobiography or something, my self-help book. I actually kind of have a self-help book. I don't remember the name of it anywhere. It all has to do with following. It all comes from the Stanford talk that was done by Steve Jobs back before he died. And it really had kind of a half spiritual aspect to it. I think he was channeling the Holy Spirit, although he didn't really use those kinds of terms. So I kind of did the same thing. It's the psychic proximity principle is what I call it, but it's actually just putting yourself in line to get spiritual promptings. And I talk about it a little bit in the first part of the book about I'm writing it this way and I use this terminology to help explain to you something that really is more of a spiritual thing. Although it's really quite practical, and God has made it on some level, I don't know if you want to call it mechanical, but it's something onto which you can rely as much as you can rely upon a machine to behave the way it's advertised. How does Larry Wickham say it? A lot of people say it like this, but I heard it most from him. It's what's written on the tin, you know. However, it's described on the tin, that's what you get. It's not snake oil. It's not somebody promising you something and then it really doesn't do it. It's just exactly what it says it is. And that's how God works. He really is exactly what he says he is. He really does do exactly what he says he will do. If you do this, he will do that. And the whole point is to put your trust in the fact that he's going to do that. And amazing things fall out. And it's definitely happening for me. Whether you frame it in terms like blessings and things like that, it's completely up to you. If you apply the principles, no matter what you call them, you get the promised results. It's really quite amazing. So I feel like I'm still in the middle of this. And as I say, you know, God's stirring the pot with his finger. I think back to the brother of Jared and him saying, you know, he put out the 16 stones that he had molten to put into the boats to get them across the waters to the promised land. After the Lord gave him a hard time about saying, this isn't the promised land, but you sure act like it, and you stopped praying to me. It was important for you to pray to me then, but then it stopped being important and stopped. And I'm upset. Lectured him for hours about the fact that he had caused this problem. I'm still sitting here and I'm saying, oh, I'm going to be sleeping in the boat tonight, which isn't an unpleasant prospect. The boat was quite comfortable. But then I'm saying, Jay, the boat isn't even there. You're getting rid of your hope is to get rid of that property today, to turn it back to the guy and then not have it hanging over your neck. Which reminds me again, there was this one story. I think it was Elder Eyring at the time. He had a house. There was a circumstance he just needed not to have that house be a burden to him or be something he had to worry about. I told the story that all of a sudden the time was right, and he was able to sell that house. And I was stunned by this being talked about in general conference when it's like, this is how my life's been going too. I'd always said that I would need to use this house for a few years. Ended up being a few months. This land, this property out here. And I didn't want to do anything too wild with it because I wanted to be able to sell it. Get rid of it somehow. Or, because I'd put so little into it, I could just stop making the tax payments and it would go up in a sheriff's sale and somebody else would take it over. I didn't feel bad about just abandoning it. It happens so much in this world, it stuns me. Every single town is chock full of abandoned properties. Tucumcari, it's getting so in your face that you can't ignore it. The fact that every third house is empty and abandoned. And what are you going to do about it? You go, I'm not going to do anything about it. It says, you know, I'm squatting on a thing now. It costs me, what, about $500 a year? To keep it basically from being sold, to keep it in the weird squirrely state it's in right now. And, but, you know, it works well for me. Just across the street, I beam my internet connection goes across the street from the house I stay in, the house I live in, my mom's old house, to this other house. We do it through the windows. And, I've got the internet at both places. Pretty good bandwidth. Not amazing, but it doesn't need to be amazing. Well, regardless, and this is a setup that I put together for a whole other reason. Just going to use that house as storage. Lisa had bigger things. I think she was wanting to turn it into an actual house. She had these pictures in her mind. And I just said, Lisa, I'm not going to put forth the effort to do that. So it kind of died. You know, Lisa has ideas. Is she going to do it? No. It's okay. She doesn't have to. I just live on this world. I'm not trying to get really comfortable. Lisa's big into the comfort. We just bought a purple mattress. Expensive little booger, to be honest. But comfortable. And it's mostly so that Lisa can feel really comfortable about her circumstances. The nice thing is with a purple mattress, you can pick it up and you can take it with you. It comes all rolled up. I don't know if once you unroll it, it's like that whole thing. The Chinese are really good at compressing things down and putting them into a little package. But once you take it out of that package, you can never quite get it back in. You know, it's like it expands. I think the purple mattress is exactly the same way. I think it's expansive. And once you take it out of its thing, you can't get it back in. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. The lack of a better way to term it. Anyway, so there's that thing. You know, while I'm here in town, I need to get some gas. So it's good that I got off a little early and that I'm going to have a little time because I need to get some gas here in Amarillo before I get to work. Because I need to proceed pretty quickly to Stinnett, which is the county seat of Hutchinson County. And that's where we're going to take care of making this trade. I'll get a check. He will get back the title to this property to resell. He's a seller. And I'm going to get out from under that obligation. It's just, It's become more trouble than it's worth to me. I just needed some place to park my darn boat that people would just basically leave me alone. There was another opportunity there, but it cost $10,000, where the one I got this way was $3,000, a lot different. And the $10,000 one isn't gonna, would have just sat there. And, you know, although I could have left the boat there, that was the whole thing. I didn't mind having some place to leave the boat. But the taxes may have been kind of high. Regardless, I, now that's coming to mind. You're going, Nemrod, this is, you really need to be going in a whole other direction. You don't need to be doing this particularly. Let me go ahead and get the gas here so I don't have a lot of garbage. It's below $3 a gallon. It's actually a pretty good price today. Sad to say. When I got used to paying almost under two, just maybe a year and a half or a few years ago, the gas prices were quite a bit cheaper. I live for the day when I don't really have to worry about the gas price. Either I make so much money that it really doesn't matter, or better for me, having to make a lot of money means a lot of obligation. And I don't like a lot of obligation. Obvious, I'm getting rid of a quarter acre piece of property that I'm saying it isn't worth my having. Anyway, and but if I'm going to have the obligation, you know, but the funny thing is I seem to be okay bearing up the obligation, even though it's like I don't want it. It's nothing that I get excited about. It's like, well, it's got to be done. Okay, time's nearly up. I need to go. This isn't a Cohen meander. This is just a personal thing. So talk to you later. Bye.